Does anyone need a copy of those notes? If you need it, just raise your hand up. Brother Ricky can grab you one and hand it to you if you need one. So, but Judges chapter number 13 tonight. Judges chapter 13. We're going to look at our third lesson here tonight. If anyone else needs one, just raise your hand up and he'll get that to you here directly. Appreciate you doing that, Brother Ricky. Judges chapter 13. Our third area we're looking at tonight is this: how to pray for your family. How to pray for your family. In Judges chapter 13 and in verse number 8, we're going to read just two verses here. We'll read a lot as we again do our study tonight. My dad was the first person I heard make this statement. I heard my grandpa say it, or my uncle. I've said it many times in marriages, and I've heard other preachers say it. But the first person that's accredited with saying it is a man by the name of Patrick Peyton. But it's this quote: the family that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. We're going to look at the importance of praying for your family. Now, we're going to talk later about praying with your family. It's a whole different lesson. But tonight we're focusing on how to pray for your family. In Judges chapter 13, verse number 8, it says this: then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So we're going to look at here how Manoah prayed and entreated the Lord on what to do with his family, and with specifically with this child. And in the introduction, you'll see a couple of things real quick. First of all, in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 26, it talks about Seth. It says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enos. Then it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, Adam and Eve knew the importance of communication with God. Every day they walked in the garden and they had a communication and a fellowship with God. But their disobedience in the garden resulted in a broken fellowship. If you remember, after Eve and then Adam ate of that fruit, there was not the walk with God like there used to be. It used to be that God himself came and walked in the cool of the day and spoke to Adam and Eve. But now that form and means of communication have been broken. But then we find when Enos comes, who is the third generation from Adam, in about 230 years later, it is then that you see, again, communication or people beginning to pray. As it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, and I would just pause before I go on and say that sin breaks that fellowship. It was sin that broke that walk with God. It was sin that broke that relationship of and communication that was there. And what happened when that walk with God was no longer there? I mean, when you stop and think, what happened there in that first family? Cain killed his brother. There was heartache. There was separation. The family divided. I mean, tragedy happened when a walk with God was removed. And we need that walk with God. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, familiar verse, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a determination to lead his family in the things of the Lord, regardless of what other people were going to do. We've preached on that passage many times, and you've heard plenty of sermons on Joshua 24:15 if you've been in church very long. But the reality is this: he had to determine that he was going to do right with his family. As a family, and every one of us here tonight with our families, however they are, be it in the role of grandparents, be it in the role of uncles, and aunts, or be it in the role of children, or mom and dad, or however you find yourself tonight, we in our roles have to determine that we are going to do right in our family. If it is not a determination that you have made, it isn't going to happen. And if we're going to have a true, and I hope that every one of us in here want a godly family. I hope no one would stand up tonight or even hide about it and say something to the fact, you know, I don't want nothing to do with God in my family. Yeah, I don't think you'd be here if that wasn't the case. Yet, if we don't have and make a specific, have a desire that we are going to serve God in our family, and if we don't have prayer for our family, it isn't going to happen. Manoah entreated God. The word entreat in our text there, it means he begged God. It was a earnest, fervent prayer. He prayed to God. He prayed, you'll see there under the introduction, little A, that if the Lord is to be involved in our families, prayer is a must. Families, if you don't have prayer in your home, you're going to struggle in your home. It doesn't mean people that pray together won't have struggles, but I can't imagine going through the struggles without prayer. If you don't have time of prayer with you and your family, and again, we're going to focus later on getting together like a family altar, but I mean this, that dads, you pray for your wife and you pray for your children and you pray for you. That we pray specifically. If there's one thing I hope these lessons wake us up to, is the fact that when we pray, we need to say, have bigger, you know, requests than bless. Bless my home. Bless my kids. Well, what do we want? I mean, what if the God in heaven looks at you tonight and say, you know, you say your prayers before you go to bed and say, Lord, bless my kids tomorrow. What would you like me to do? How would you like that blessing? I mean, you got to be specific, right? I mean, most of you won't go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and say, hey, bless me with something, right? Because you're not going to get what you want. Well, shouldn't we let God know who said, let your request be made known unto God? If, you know, the old saying, if you don't aim at anything, you ain't going to hit it, right? If you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a request, what are you wanting God to do? I think that's really, in a nutshell, and I know you're probably getting bored of hearing me say this, but in a nutshell, that's one of the greatest problems we have in our Christian lives today, is we're kind of lazy. I mean, I've caught myself in the last 3 weeks after studying this in my personal devotions. I have a huge prayer list that I try to pray over every day, you know, and so many of your names, you know, I specific prayer requests, and I get into the habit, right? You know, I'd be praying, and Lord, bless Jake, and watch over him, and the Lord's really spoken to my heart, all right, what I need to pray for Jake about? I do pray for you, Jake, every day. I need to pray for some specific things that I know. Things that he shared with me. Things that I know need prayer in his family, his life. I mean, we should pray and as he says, he begged God with an earnestness. If the Lord's not in our prayer, in our family, things are going to be bad. Letter B, Manoah was asking God for wisdom. We cannot pray, God, just bless me and my three. We must specifically pray for wisdom. Pray for, in our text in Judges chapter 13, and in verse number 8, he says, O Lord, let the man of God which thou hast sent me come again unto us and teach us. He said, I need wisdom. In James chapter number 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We need God's wisdom for our family. And what is that wisdom? Well, obviously the wisdom, number one. Now listen, this is important, church, all right? What is God's wisdom? If we pray, we need to ask for wisdom. Where do we get that wisdom, right? God's not going to write it in the sky, all right? There's not going to be a hand appear on the wall as it did in the book of Daniel and write our wisdom on the wall. If that happens, we're out of here, right? It ain't going to happen. That's not the way God speaks to us today. How does God give us His wisdom? Number one, in His book. He will never, ever, ever give any wisdom contrary to this book. That's why if someone ever comes to you and says, you know what, this isn't in the Bible, but you know, I really feel like God wants me to do this, and it's contrary to, you know, what you're teaching or something like that. Well, they're wrong. Amen. Didn't come from God. For instance, someone ever gets up, you know, in a meeting and says, you know, I believe that we need to, you know, bring in Christian rock band because we can attract people. And I really have been praying about it, and that's from God. You can look at him and say, no, it wasn't. Amen? No, it wasn't. I was thinking the other day, because you guys are just kind of dead right now. I was thinking I'm going to start something like on Facebook. I'm just going to put like a post. I think we all should start sharing things like this. I don't listen to rock music. That would be awesome. See, why would you post that, right? Because everyone else puts everything that they shouldn't listen, and they're all blasting, this is what I listen to, right? And you can't comment on that because it causes a civil war. But on my statement, I can say what I want to say, right? I don't listen to it, and more people need to know. There's people that don't listen to it. Come on, people, right? You guys are just dead tonight, right? All right? Let's just pray and go home, all right? You're all bored, all right? The fact is this. Listen, we ought to take a stand. We ought to stand up for what's right, and someone needs to be a voice to say this is right. The only people that aren't allowed to say anything are Christians nowadays because you're being judgmental. Of course, everyone else is allowed to say what they want to, right? But for some reason, we cannot. We get our wisdom from this book. But I also say, number two, James 1 does not say the Lord will put good ideas into our, does not say the Lord will put good ideas into our head concerning our families, but it's a promise that the Spirit of God will guide us through biblical principles. You know what that means? Is that He'll take the teaching of the Word of God and you'll know what you should do. When we, as dads, specifically pray for wisdom on how to discipline and train and lead in our family, there's going to come situations. I don't know about you. Actually, I do. I'm sure you're just like me, that you face situations being married, face situations in raising children that you thought, never thought I'd be making this decision. Or they didn't teach me how to handle this. Well, how do I know what to do? It's amazing how God's Spirit will lead you through the principles in the Word of God. And you'll be able to make the right decisions. Manoah asked, letter D at the bottom, asked that he would be taught how to bring up his promised son. Divine instruction comes from God's Word. We ought to pray every day that God would teach us how to do this. Number four, this lesson is going to teach us some ways to pray specifically for the members in our family. It goes beyond praying for temporal health, worldly success, etc. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with praying that your child will be, you know, successful in his business. That's great. There's nothing wrong with praying that, you know, your children will be healthy. Absolutely, I do too. But sometimes we focus so much on the temporal that we never make a request for the things that are of greater importance. I would say that most moms and dads in this room are like me. No one had to beg us to pray for our kids when they were sick. We know how to do that. I don't want my children to fail. I want them to be successful in life. But even more than that, I want my kids to hate sin. When was the last time you prayed that your son would love the Word of God? I mean, love it. When was the last time you prayed that your daughter would hate evil? When was the last time that you prayed that, you know, your little baby, maybe that's just been born, will go on to serve the Lord with all of his heart? to learn scriptures. There are some great important things that we ought to be praying for our children, and not just temporal things. So this is a shorter lesson. It won't take us long. Number one, how to pray for the man of the house. The man of the house. First of all, as a husband. To pray as a husband. What should we pray? Now, I give this for men, for us to pray, how to pray for ourselves, but also for our spouses, how to pray for our husbands. For, we'll talk about it a little bit, for children, how to pray. For even you say, well, you know, I'm in a different position at church. Maybe you're, you know, not married. Maybe you're a widow, or you know, in a different position. Maybe not focusing on the area that we're focusing on. I'll just throw this out there real quick. Then why don't you pray, please, that God would help me to be this kind of husband? Would you pray, please, that God would help, you know, just let God lead you? I tell you, one of the greatest things I started doing about 5 years ago in my prayer life is stopping in my prayers and saying, now, God, who do you want me to pray for? And just stop. Let God lay somebody on your heart. I can't tell you how many times, you know, God's really laid someone on my heart, and then maybe that day I pray for him, and I send him a note, a text, a phone call, and just say, brother, I don't know why God laid you on my heart. And how many times a preacher's wrote back and said, thank you. There's a pastor friend that's actually stopped in our church not long ago. A few weeks later, man, he was on my heart. I just sent him a message. I said, is there anything I can pray for you about? Man, he called me back, tears. He said, would you pray for my granddaughter? He was broken. And I've prayed every day for his granddaughter. Let God speak to you. Would you take the time in your prayers? Just pause. Say, God, who should I pray for today? Ask God this question. Is there someone I can be a blessing to today? Maybe someone is not on a prayer list, but God will lay it on your heart to do something for them. So pray. How to pray for the man, the husband. First of all, number one, that his faith in God would be strong. Let's go to Ephesians, and we'll kind of look at a few verses there in Ephesians. I gave you quite a few extra verses. Encourage you to maybe study those on your own. But we should be able to hit most of these. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Ephesians 3 and in verse number 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Pray for husbands that his faith would be strong. I have printed there 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. Pray for your husband. Ladies, pray for your husband that he would be strong in the Lord. I know I'm saying the same thing, but the typical Christian just says, Lord, help, bless my husband today. Help my husband today. And that's great. I'm not belittling that. But let's grow some this year. Let's add to this. Lord, help my husband to be strong in his faith. That may sound like a little thing, but you know what it will do? It will, one, effectual fervent prayer makes a difference. Two, every man in this room who will admit it, we need that prayer. And three, you know what it'll do, ladies? You will help nurture that when that is a request on your heart. You will help. The Lord will give you opportunities to help him in that area. Number two, pray for a husband that he would walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Colossians 3, 9 and 10, written on your paper, says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Pray that your husband would walk in the Spirit. I know sometimes, and for many wives, they, and again, if your husband's not saved, that is your number one prayer. That is your first and foremost prayer. But then, if you have a husband that is saved, pray that he walk in the Spirit. Instead of getting mad that he's, you know, or praying, "God, help his temper not to show up today." Well, I can guarantee this, if he walks in the Spirit, it won't. If he walks in the Spirit, there won't be anger and clamor and wrath and strife, because those things are removed when we walk in the Spirit. So pray that he walks in the Spirit. And by the way, you get the benefits of walking in the Spirit: gentleness, goodness, love, meekness, temperance. Those things will be there. Number three, pray for the husband that he might make wise decisions for his family. Wise decisions for his family. Genesis 18, 19, printed there, says, "For I know him," talking about Abraham, "God said that he will command his children and household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Boy, wouldn't it be great to have in the Word of God that God could say this about Travis Burke: "I know him, that he will command his children and household that they would keep the way of the Lord." Wow. Wow. That was said of Abraham. Pray for your husband that he would make wise decisions. It's contrasted in Ruth 1:1. You remember whenever Naomi and her husband, what did he do? He led them away from the promised land. He led them away. You remember Naomi, it was because of the famine. And it was not, you know, the right thing to do. And that's why Naomi said, "I left full and came back empty." She would have gone the wrong direction. Number four, pray for your husband that he might understand and minister to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of his wife. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25 and verse number 26, Ephesians 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." Pray for your husbands that they would understand and minister to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the wife. You remember, and it's written in here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, when Hannah desperately wanted a child, and she was heartbroken. She was sick over it. And the Bible says there in that verse, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why is thou heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons?" He tried his best to help his wife's hurt. Maybe wives, you know, you say, a lot of wives say, "I wish my husband would understand me. I wish my husband would show me more compassion or more patience," or whatever the case may be. Well, have you prayed for that? It's probably easy to complain about it, but have you prayed for that? By the way, young ladies that aren't married, you ought to be praying that God will prepare that man in all these ways. That whoever he is down the road, that God will already be working these things in his life. You see, don't sit there tonight, you know, our teen girls and our young adult girls, and, you know, and say, "Well, this isn't for me." Well, I'd be praying this every day, saying, "God, whoever that is, would you please help him to understand and minister to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs that I'm going to have." Number five, that he might maintain a good reputation in society. Proverbs 31:23, we won't turn there, but that he would have a good testimony, that he would live a life that honors God. So pray as a husband, pray as a father for these four things. Number one, that he would succeed in his responsibility of teaching his children good doctrine. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 gives the directive to husbands, to fathers, to teach their children day and night the things of God. Pray. Pray for the man of the house, if he is a father, to embrace this responsibility in teaching his children good doctrine. Number two, that he would be temperate or spirit-controlled with his children, restraining and correcting them in love. Colossians, just a page over from where we should be, a few pages. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Lest they be discouraged. It ought to be the prayer for every wife and every man that we would pray. I would pray and my wife would pray for me that as a father, I would be spirit controlled when it came to restraining and correcting my children in love. I'll say this one more time. It is right to discipline your children, but to do it in a biblical way. You should never strike your child with your hand. You should never smack your child, hurt your child. There's a biblical way of discipline. And I'm not afraid to say that because it's biblical. You discipline a child when they're young with a rod. It's a small stick. And you discipline a child. And the Bible promises it's not something you're going to have to do all of your life when done correctly in love. If you're mad at your kid, you better not discipline that child at that moment. It better be in heartbrokenness and in love, teaching that child that for the same purpose God had to pour his wrath out on his son because of sin. And by the way, that's why you discipline, because of sin. And it's done in a biblical fashion. You say, well, that little rod, right? And I mean a little, that rod, it's a switch, basically. Well, that ain't going to hurt a 15-year-old. If you're waiting until they're 15, it's too late. Well, what should I use on my 15-year-old? You're way behind the game now. That ain't going to work. Discipline correctly, but you ought to be spirit-controlled. And I want to encourage you, mom and dad and young parents and parents-to-be in the next 10 years, discipline your children because it's right and it's biblical. Do it while they're young, but do it biblically. Never strike them with anything but a switch, a rod. No belts. It's not in the Bible. I'll take my belt off. That's not in the Bible. They're all staring at me really weird. I will just hold to the Bible. I think that's where we can go. We'll be right if we do that. Amen? You're afraid to amen me because you got whipped with a belt. So did I. All right? It's okay. Well, it did me good. I'm sure it did me too, but it probably would have done me better to be done in a biblical fashion. I feel like I should stop here and preach for about 30 minutes because you're not liking that at all, all right? Be honest. We're losing most kids. It's partly because we're not doing things right. We're not doing things biblical. But learn to be spirit-controlled. Number three, as a father, pray that he can successfully relate to, guide, and inspire his children to life, or in life. 1 Thessalonians should be just a few pages again to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and in verse number 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 11 and 12 says this, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into this kingdom and glory." You see that a father should be someone who inspires and guides and encourages his children to do right. Pray Ladies, pray for your husband that he would be that kind of father. Men, pray that God will use you in that way. Number four, that he would receive the strength and ability to provide for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of his family. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and in verse number 8 says this. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for the those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Pray that God would use your husband, to use him as a father, to have the strength to provide. Maybe letter C, to pray as a grandfather. Now, I'm not a grandfather, but I'm going to pray that I be this when that day comes, should it come. And how should we pray as a grandfather? Number one, that he may continue to provide wise counsel to his grown children. That he would continue to give this wise counsel. That even when they're older, they will give that counsel. I'll read that verse to you real quick that I have written down there. Proverbs chapter number 9 and in verse number 9. Proverbs 9 and verse number 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Just because your children are grown doesn't mean you should not cease giving them wise counsel. Now, you don't have that authority like you used to, but you ought to give good counsel to your grown children. Number two, that he might set a godly example for his grandchildren. Titus 2, verse 2 and in verse number 7 talks about older men being an example. We ought to pray for our grandfathers in this room and future grandfathers that they would continue to give wise counsel, but also that they would be an example. An example. I want to encourage you, all of our papaws, grandpas, whatever the title that you go by, don't drop the ball now. Don't quit on God now. You keep being a godly example. And then number three, that he might age gracefully. In Proverbs chapter 16, we're pretty close there. We get to grandmas, we'll refer to this verse again, but it says in Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So what do you mean by age gracefully? I'm talking about this, that they continue being a righteous person. Sweet, loving, tender-hearted, compassionate, wise. So pray for the man of the house. Number two, pray for the lady of the house. I'll go through these quicker. Number one, as a wife, three things. Number one, that she may exhibit the beauty of spiritual adornment. The beauty of spiritual adornment. 1 Peter, I like that verse. And in chapter number 3, 1 Peter chapter number 3, and in verse number 3, says this, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Pray that she might exhibit the beauty of spiritual adornment. Men, I'm talking now, let's pray for our wives. Let's not just pray in the morning, Lord, help my wife, help her, give her a good day, bless her day, help her to be healthy. Watch over. Those are great things. But let's get specific. God, may she exhibit the beauty of spiritual adornment. Again, it does a couple of things. Number one, it creates in us a knowledge and in looking for ways to enhance this. I'll make sure my wife has time to have a time with God, because that's what I want. I'm praying for that. I will guard what I allow in my home as entertainment because I want to guard this. I want her to exhibit this spiritual beauty about her. Number two, that she would sweetly follow her husband's leadership and not be worrisome. Sweetly follow her husband's leadership. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and in verse number 22, it says this. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. She would sweetly follow her husband's leadership and not be worrisome. Again, if I'm praying that every day, everybody look at me real quick. If I'm praying every day for my wife and God, help Stacy that she would be able to follow her husband's leadership and not have to be filled with anxiety and worry in life. You know what that makes me do? I need to show some leadership. I can't ask God to help her to follow my leadership and me not be a leader. These things challenge ourselves too. Number three, that she would know how to build up her husband. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband. Pray that she would know how to build up her husband, to encourage her husband. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement from my wife. Say, you're weak. Then I'm weak. I know it to be true because God said so, that you husbands love hearing your wife compliment you. I don't have to ask you if it's true. You love it. It's beyond you love it. You need it. God created you that way. When you do a job, you're not happy until your wife tells you you did a good job. I don't care what you just did. If you just went and fed the dog, you walk in and say, honey, I fed the dog, because you want her to say, thank you. Great job feeding that dog, right? We pick up our own socks and throw them in the hamper, right? Hey, I picked up my stuff today. Like, that should be something special, right? But we always advertise when we do it because we like to be reverenced. Let a husband do a big job, clean the garage out, paint the shed. It's a 20-minute show now, right? Come, wife, let me show you my handiwork, right? And we give him a tour of all the great things that we've accomplished in the last 10 minutes, right? Because that's what we do. Well, pray that she would know how to reverence her husband. As a mother, pray for your wife, number one, that she would be a good keeper of the home. 1 Timothy 5:14 says that it's a blasphemy to God in the book of Titus that when we're not, the ladies aren't the keeper of their home. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman who takes care of the things at home, that she would be a good keeper of the home. Pray for her. I am going to go out on a limb and say there's been once or twice in your life that you've probably complained to her. Well, how often have you prayed for her on this? Number two, that she will effectively influence the children by her faith and instruction. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. You remember Eunice and Lois, who had such a powerful impact upon a young Timothy's life. Pray that she will have this kind of influence with your children. Number three, that she will take and make the time to sit at Jesus' feet. You ought to pray for that. Every man in this room ought to pray for your wife, that because when they are fulfilling the role of being a mother, they are busy. There's always something to do. Not only are they taking care of you, but they're taking care of these children running around that are making messes quicker than she can clean them. And sometimes life gets overwhelming with the laundry, the cleaning, the chores, the instruction, the teaching. Sometimes one of the things it's easiest to put to the side, not that they want to, but is that time with God. And we ought to pray for them that they will have the time to sit at his feet. As a grandmother, number one, she may be used to set a godly example for others. In Titus chapter 2, the elderly women. Again, that she would be a good example, not just for her children, but for all the ladies in the church. Did you know every one of our godly ladies is to be an example to our younger ladies? Whether you're related or not, you have a biblical office to fulfill. I hope you realize that. Y'all staring at me again, all right? Every one of you. I mean, everyone has a biblical office to fulfill. You know, I'm looking back there at Miss Cheyenne staring at me, right? Which I'm glad she's staring at me. She's paying attention, right, Cheyenne? What did I just say? No, I'm just kidding. All right, now Cheyenne's paying attention, right? There she is. Did you know And I'm not making light and joke at all. My wife has a responsibility to be an influence on her life. Miss Davis, of course, does. So does Miss Carol Wilson. So does Miss Twilly. So does Mrs. Schwartz. Every one of us ladies are to be teaching her by your life. So we pray that they would be a godly example for others. Number two, that she will influence the grandchildren by her faith. Isn't that, don't you love hearing those stories about the love and the biblical teaching from grandma? Number three, that she might age gracefully in righteousness. Number three, how to pray for children in the home. Real quick, number one, for young children. I'm talking about just born toddlers. These eight things, I'll go through them quick. I encourage you to read these scriptures on your own. Number one, that they may learn to memorize the Word of God. Have we ever prayed that for our kids? I guarantee if you're 60 plus in this auditorium, I guarantee, and you would all love the Lord, you wish you knew more scriptures now. I feel that way. I know my grandpa, that man knows more Bible than anyone else I know right now. And even in his state that he's struggling with right now, the other day we're sitting up there at his house and he didn't know who I was, but someone mentioned the book of John and he quoted John chapter 1 and John chapter 2. Word perfect. Wow. I just sat there and wagged my head, right? It's amazing. And he told me a few years ago when his eyes went dim, he said, Travis John, I wish I'd have memorized more of it because I can't read it. Pray your children learn the importance of memorizing Scripture. You know what that makes us do as parents? Teach them. If I want them to memorize it, I'm going to work with them on it. If I'm praying for that. Number two, that they may learn to love and respect the Word of God. Again, it's easy to pray, Lord, bless my kids. Lord, help them to be healthy and wealthy. Let's talk about some real important things, that they would learn to love and respect the Word of God. Number three, that they would learn to obey their parents, that they will give their hearts to their fathers. I'm talking about babies just born, a year, 2 years old. These are things I'm praying for right now. You know what the problem is? I mean, look at me. We a lot of times wait till they're 16, 17, and these things become important to us. It's too late. Yeah. All of a sudden, we realize our kids are 16 years old, and they don't love the Word of God, and we think, oh, no. God, please help them. Please help them. Please help them. I'm not saying it won't happen, but we've missed our big chance. They would learn to obey their parents, that they would give their hearts to their fathers, that they would learn to respect those in authority, be it teachers at school, pastors at church, the police officer. My, how we miss that in this world today. Number six, that they will be protected from knowing evil. Did you hear that? Not protected from evil. That will come later. But let's pray when they're kids that they won't know what it is. I'll tell you something to blow your socks off. Ready? I didn't know what a sodomite was till I was 19. There you go. Today it's being taught in preschool. In this world we live in. It's being taught in preschool. You know, there's all kinds of things out in the world I don't want my kids to know. Another thing, you know, I guess it's to praise of the Lord is what I'm saying is, I remember the first couple of years I went with our church to camp as a counselor. Because when I went to church camp when I was a teenager and stuff, I had my little circle, right? It was who you hung out with. Well, I remember the first time I went as a counselor, you know, 19 years old, going down to camp, Brother Slee, Brother Larry Wilson's there, and I'm sitting around with all these kids, and they said words I had no idea what it meant. I remember going to my dad and asking, what are these kids talking about?
Who said that, right?
Well, I don't know what it was. I'm thankful for that. But it's not happening today. And I'm not just talking about the bus kids. Our kids in this auditorium know more than they should know. Because they're sitting there watching everything on the internet and watching every video out there and watching everything and constantly inputting things. We ought to pray that our kids would be protected from knowing evil. Number 7, that they will be helped by the Lord in developing their God-given talents and abilities. Did you know every child in this room, God's given them special talents and abilities? Every one of them. I watch my kids and I'm figuring out all their little talents and the gifts that God gave them, because God gives everyone gifts to serve Him with. Everyone has different gifts, and one is not greater than the other. And I love watching my children and trying to figure these out and then trying to mold them to use them. And that's an awesome thing. And I want to be a dad who prays that my kids would develop these talents, develop these abilities, and use it for the glory of God. Number 8, that there would be no favorites in the home. Pray that when they're born. You say, what always happens? Well, every time it ever happens, there's problems. It was always kind of a joke at our house. Grace always said, who's your favorite? And she always tried to figure it out, right? Right, Grace? Yeah, see? She always asked that. She went like through a year, almost daily. Mom, is she your favorite? Is Alex your favorite? And she would always make accusations, right? And my wife would always sit there and say, we love all of you the same. And Grace would say, sure, right? And that was a conversation we had over and over again. But the fact is this, as a parent, I want to guard against that. There'll always be tendencies in your children that will attract and draw you closer to them. Maybe you have a child that, you know, maybe you're a math whiz and your child loves math. That's going to be something to draw you together. And maybe you have another child that hates math. Or maybe one person likes sports, one person doesn't like sports. Maybe one person loves sewing, the other person hates needles. And whatever the case is, but there's going to be things in your children that will naturally attract you, and that's fine. But don't allow you to set up a favorite. Because every time it happened in the Bible, without a doubt, and every time it did, there were serious issues. So you pray that will not happen. Letter B, pray for young children and pray for youth. When I say youth, I'm talking about a child that's now walking, talking, knows the difference between right and wrong. Probably that age of accountability. Be it 5, 6, 7, 8, up to 17, 18. Pray, number 1, that they would genuinely trust Christ and be saved. That should be the number 1 prayer request for our children. Number 2, that they will guard themselves from sin and strive to do right. I don't have time to read these verses, but I need to get through this. Please read these on your own. That they will guard themselves from sin and strive to do right. That they may be spiritually strong and successful in life. Number 4, that they would be effective in their witness to and influence in the truth. Again, we pray all the time, I'm sure, for our kids that they would do well at school and stay away from the wrong crowd, or God, you bless my kid, help them to be, you know, not to get sick this week. There's lots of junk going around, help not to get the flu this week, whatever the case may be, and those are fine. But let's pray for some specific spiritual matters. I know this is different, but take this now this week and pray for your kids this way. Pray number 5, that they will honor their parents, that they will find and marry God's choice of a mate, that it's God's will who they marry. Number 4, as we close, how to pray as a child in the home. All right, so you're one of the kids in the home. I don't care. All of our young ones are next door, but this applies to them. But for you teenagers and up, first of all, how to pray for your parents. Pray these 2 things, that they will love each other. That they'll love each other. Colossians chapter number 3 and in verse number 19, I'm going to read this verse to you. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There's too many kids who fear what kind of relationship mom and dad are going to have that night. Will they be fighting, yelling again? Pray, kids. You want to pray for your parents? Pray they'll love each other. You say, well, of course they're going to love each other. Well, I would hope so. But it's not just something down deep in the heart. Pray they'll show it to each other. Because there's nothing quite as securing as a child when she sees her parents that are truly in love with each other. You ever seen a little kid? You walk up, I've done this a few times recently. I walk up in the kitchen, my wife will be standing there. And I'll grab her and give her a kiss or something. And you know what Hope does? She always laughs and then runs and tries to stand right in between us. You know why? Because that's a great place to be. And every kid wants that. Because it gives them a sense of security, safety. There's so many kids out there that don't have that. These kids come in on Sundays. There's different people coming in and out. No mom and dad to see that. Those that do have moms and dads in the home, there's so much arguing and fighting. So kids, pray that they'll love each other. Pray, number two, that they will love Jesus and follow God's word. That they will love each other. They will love the Lord and follow His word. Not just for your parents, but kids, pray for your siblings. Number one, we can learn to love and support each other in life. And it is something you have to learn. It doesn't come naturally. There's a natural rivalry there when you first get started. But I am so thankful today to have two sisters that we love and support each other in life. And I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful I'm able to. The other day, a few weeks ago, she's not here tonight. She's sick. Both of them are sick. Both my sisters have taken opportunities. Just driving down the road the other day, going to visit Miss Donna. And I was tired. It was my first visit in the morning. And I had all my agenda of what I wanted to get done today. And Rachel just sent me a text and said, I just want to say I'm thankful that you're my brother. Crystal the other day just sent me a text and said, I love you and I'm praying for you. Your sibling, you will appreciate them one day. Pray now that you can love and support each other in life. And then two, pray that you can learn to settle your quarrels in the right manner, because you're going to fight. My wife says all the time, my kids start jabbering at each other. I don't understand. She always says this, if I would have had a brother or sister, I would have never fought with them. And all four of us laugh at her every time. Don't we, Grace? We're always like, yeah, whatever. You just don't get it. Right, every brother and sister in the room, right? Yeah, amen, Jordan, yeah, all right? The fact is this, if you make it a prayer request every day, that we will learn to handle these things in the right way, it will begin to affect you. Conclusion, Joshua purpose to have a godly home. It doesn't just happen. It comes when the word of God is believed and followed. Manoah cried out that he might be taught what to do. God is so gracious to give us the perfect manual in all aspects of the Christian home. Satan tried to destroy the first home, and nothing of his diabolical design has abated. Oh, how we need to bathe our homes in fervent prayer. May we just purpose, and I'll close, to not just pray for our family. Lord, help my family. Bless my family. Watch over my family. But let's get specific. Let's pray for some spiritual things here. I've got plenty of illustrations out there in my own life, in the lives of many families around us, that don't do any of these things. There's a lot of scars. Let's try to do this. They're simple things. Build on it. But let your requests be made known unto God. Let's pray, Father.